recognize almost everyone here, but in case I don't, my name is Matt Dretzka. It's my wife, Holly Dretzka, and I have two kids, Gracie and Colton, 18 and 17 years old. Well, a lot of you know that this has been a long road. This has not gone as quickly as I planned, but God has a plan. So I want to give you a quick summary of where we are today. There's been a lot of ups and downs and a lot of opportunity to get discouraged, and that's a difficult one to get over. It's always been my motto, it's okay to be disappointed, but don't ever let yourself get discouraged, and I have truly been tested in that in the last few years. But also this road has been very amazing to see how God has worked. There has been many trials that we've gone through. When you look back on it, you just go, wow, God, that is truly amazing what you've done. So being in God's will and trusting him, even through the hard times, is definitely a well worth it during those hard times. But I'm going to open us in prayer, and then I'll kind of get into this. Dear Lord, we just thank you so much for this day. We just thank you for the opportunity that we have and that we have the privilege to be here in your house, Lord. And we just ask that you'll just be with us this evening. I pray that you just use me as a vessel and let your mission be shown through this, Lord. Don't let me get in the way of this, but let you just work through this whole thing, Lord, and just that I can glorify and honor you through everything that's said. I pray that you'll just open up hearts today, Lord, and just that we can just leave here better and more prepared to be a great witnesses and testimony for you, Lord, and just be missionaries wherever we are, Lord. We love you, we thank you, and praise you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. All right, so it probably started about 9 years ago. I was kind of trying to calculate it in my mind about where we were at the time. But I was working at a cheese factory as a superintendent in Nampa, Idaho. I'm sure some of you have seen it. If you're going down the freeway in Idaho, it's just this giant plant on the side of the freeway. I was working there, and we were building a new milk dryer tower. And we had contractors come in from New Zealand. And I was kind of interested in going, New Zealand, what's that? Had no clue. I've heard the words before, but really I didn't know anything about it. I knew that it was kind of an island country, but that's about it. And I started talking to them, and I met them, and they were telling me about the country, how beautiful it is, and everything about it. And it kind of just interests me. And honestly, I'm not a person who, like, I hear something new and I got to know about it. That's never been the way I am, the way I'm built. But that was, for some strange reason, I was like, New Zealand, I got to know more about this place. I don't know why, but so I started studying it and really became interested in it. And a couple years later, I just felt God saying, yeah, that's where I want you. I want you in New Zealand. That's why you're interested in it. That's why you're studying it. And, you know, so my thoughts were, okay, I can get a job there and I can start a mission that way and pursue it that way. Well, there's a problem with that. That was my plan, and that plan didn't work out. I actually did find a job and everything and was communicating through email with them, but it just didn't work out, because when I went and told my wife about it, she's like, well, that's a great plan, but I'm not ready. I don't think I can do that right now. And, you know, you think, well, that's just going to break everything down. That just shut the whole thing down. No, it didn't. I said, okay, God, when it's time, you'll show me by showing her. And I waited, for a while. So during that time, that thought never really left me, never really went away, but I just waited patiently. And so during that time, we were brought to the great state of Washington and found Temple Baptist Church. And we fell in love with this church immediately. It didn't take us, but maybe one time of coming that we fell in love with it. And during that time, during the Wednesday night service, I'm sure most of you know that Richard brings up and talks about a missionary every time. Well, one time he brought up the Brammer's letter, and at the end of the letter, they were asking for a prayer request, and it said, I'd like you to pray for someone to come and basically take over our ministry as we're reaching an age where we're not going to be able to do it much longer. And Holly leaned over and said, "You think that's for us?" And I said, "Okay, God, it's time to start." So it really opened up a lot of doors when she said she was ready. And we very quickly started emailing and started talking to the Brammers. And we took a trip there, and you'll see some slides from that here in a little bit. But one of the things that's been laid on my heart is, you know, I look at today, throughout the world, there are many people all over the world, even in America, all the way Asia and everywhere, that have never heard the gospel. And the sad thing about this is becoming even more common from what I can see. I actually literally meet people that have never heard the gospel. And it just, it really boggles my mind. I'm like, how can that be in America? But it's just becoming more and more prevalent as the years go on, and I meet more and more. And it's kind of breaks my heart a little bit, and it's very sad. But in the gospel, God has led us, you know, to be missionaries no matter where we're at. And God calls us to different places, and He gives people different talents, different attitudes, different demeanors to reach people all over the place. And I feel as though He's given us just a personality. As we went to New Zealand, I noticed our personalities really meshed with the people there. We didn't, act like Kiwis. We didn't act like we were locals. But we seemed to be able to get along with them very well, and they were very open to us, which was a great, it was a blessing when we were there, because that's something I was worried about. Can I even reach these people? Are they going to listen to me? Are we going to be able to communicate and you know, grow together and become friends? And it was something that I noticed we were able to do, and I was very pleased with that. I just wanted to share a few verses that have really, over the past 9 years, have really, you know, helped me through and helped me understand what God is doing. In Matthew 28, 19 and 20, He says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whereover I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." So it's pretty clear. I mean, everyone's heard this verse before. God wants us to go forth and tell others about Him. It's a very clear statement. He doesn't, you know, mesh words there at all. He wants to show His love. He wants us not only to tell them about salvation, but He wants us to continue to teach them. He wants to disciple them. And so that they can go forth and teach others as well. And that's one of the things that I really want to emphasize is when we're in the field, not just okay, you're saved now. Well, good luck. No, I want to be able to disciple them and help them to understand God's word. I mean, there's so much in here that I don't understand. You know, what does a new believer see? He just sees a big black book with a lot of words. What do they mean? How are we going to learn? So it's a very big burden of mine that I really want to see people getting discipled that they can go and reach others. And in Romans 10, 13, and 14, it says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" Now, I was studying this verse a while ago, and I noticed the word preacher. And I thought, well, we got preachers. You know, that's great. But preacher in this verse, as I studied, is someone to preach or announce publicly the truth. That could be anyone. You don't need to have the title of preacher to go out publicly and proclaim Jesus Christ. That could be anyone in this room. And that's so important to really understand that since there is this is such a growing problem in the world that the gospel is not being told to people, and there's more and more people that don't hear the gospel. And we know all about all the tribes in the jungles and stuff, how they cannot hear the gospel, but how can a person not hear the gospel that lives down the road from us? It's really a very sad thing. Or a people I met people at work that I work with out at Hanford. They've never really heard the gospel. I mean, they know the name Jesus, but it's just another name. You know, so it's really a growing problem, and we really need to reach out to them. So honestly, we just need to be obedient wherever God leads us, no matter where that is. Now, in John 15:16, it says, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he shall give it you." This really isn't talking to anyone specifically. It's talking to everyone. God has chosen us. He's chosen all of us. He wants us all to be used. And we just need to be faithful and seek him. And he's going to give us the needs. He's going to show us what we are to do and where we're to go and how we're to do it. Now, the verse that really helped me a lot, Psalms 27:14. Very, very popular verse here. "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." This is a trait I really had to learn. I have to learn to wait on the Lord because I want to do it now. If it was me, I'd be in the field right now, and I wouldn't be in God's will. I'd be in New Zealand trying to do my job, what I wanted to do, and not what God wants. So as I look back, I have seen how I have needed time to learn. I needed time to grow. And you know, even when COVID hit, the beauty of it all is just, you know, things started looking bleak. Things started looking more difficult. And honestly, they are more difficult. It is harder to get into New Zealand now. There is more struggles along the way. But right when I started feeling discouraged and getting discouraged, God always did something to show me that I was on the right path and just to keep going and keep trusting in him. Every single time I'd just be downhearted and struggling, he'd give us something and show us, yeah, just keep going. You're doing good. You're doing fine. Just keep waiting on me. So I just keep trusting in him, and he just keeps giving me the encouragement I need, and it has been a blessing. But right now, I'm going to go through some of the slides, and then hopefully we can have time for some questions. So here is an aerial view of part of New Zealand. That's, you know, most of the housing and everything. It's not a huge town. It's quite a bit bigger than it looks here. But one thing that I really, really thought was fantastic, just like New York, it has a Central Park. The thing about New Zealand, they really love nature. They love everything about nature and outdoors. And I thought it was amazing. You go into that park and they actually have a free zoo and all sorts of animals you can walk through and see. It was just neat. I was really blessed to see that. But New Zealand has a flag. I don't know if anyone knows about this flag, but it looks a lot like another country's flag. It looks very similar to Australia, but it is different. So Australia has 7 white stars, where New Zealand has the 4 red. They do have the British Empire expansion corner there. It was part of the British Empire for a while. Since then has gone independent. They still hold to a lot of the British ideas, and they still consider the Queen royalty and everything, so it's pretty interesting. The stars are the Southern Cross constellation. That's only visible in the Southern Hemisphere. But I just wanted to do warn you that do not call Kiwis Australian and do not call Aussies Kiwis. There's like a little rivalry there, and I don't understand. I think it has a lot to do with rugby, but... So New Zealand is an island country. There are actually 2 islands, and it's about 1,200 miles southeast of Australia. Invercargill is actually about 7,755 miles away from us today. So during our first initial trip there, we flew from Seattle to San Francisco, San Francisco to Sydney, and then Sydney to Christchurch, New Zealand. It took about, 22 hours of in the air, and that's a long time in a plane, especially when you're 6'4". I did not get first class either. I can't afford that. So it was tight. But we made it, and we made the best of it. So when we got there, we actually stayed the night in Christchurch, and we drove from Christchurch down to Invercargill. It took about 8.5 hours. It didn't have to take that long, but we'd never been to New Zealand, and we wanted to see it, so we made a lot of stops along the way. It's about 350-mile drive to the Brammer's house, and you can make it in about 7 hours. We did a lot of sightseeing. It was a beautiful country, a beautiful drive. Invercargill is the southernmost city in New Zealand, and actually, technically, it is the southernmost city in the world. Now, there is towns and everything lower, but when you're considered a city, it is the southernmost. So when we got there, we visited with the Brammers for a while and got to know them and got to know the town a little bit, and we went to the church, which is Tay Street Baptist Church. It's a wonderful building. I really liked the church a lot. It actually sits on Tay Street, hence the name Tay Street Baptist Church, which is it's a main thoroughfare through the town. It has a lot of traffic that drives by it, which is a huge blessing to them. Great location, lots of visibility, and the greatest thing is that it's its own building. The thing about New Zealand is a lot of the churches are sharing buildings with others, or they're in like a rented space in a shopping center with little to no parking. And Tay Street has its own building, has a big parking lot, and to top it off, it is paid for, which is huge there. They are very proud of that and very proud of their place that they have. As you step into the church, you have a nice foyer, has a library, bulletin board with the church members on it, which was very helpful to us. They actually sent us their member list with pictures in an email before we went so we could hopefully get to know people. Well, I'm horrible with names, so I had to relearn every single person there. I was like, I know I've seen you before, but I don't know your name. I still do that with a lot of you today, so I don't even know your name. I'm sorry. I do. It's okay. It really kind of helps people, new people there, to know who all is there. The sanctuary holds about 70 people, one right here. But recently they had about 85 people show up, and so I'm sure they found a way to do that. I'm sure they didn't break fire code because they are kind of sticklers on that in the country. For some reason, fire code is huge, and I think it has a lot to do with the earthquake years ago. They have signs like everywhere you go, maximum capacity. I know we have it here, but it's very clear there, maximum capacity so much. I noticed that everywhere we went for some reason. But it's a great sanctuary. They have it set up very well. So this picture right here was taken from one of the two Sunday school rooms up on a upper level. This area is a common area. It's used for gatherings, teas, what they call it, parties, youth groups, or just to hang out and fellowship. It's actually a really fun place to hang out. There's a kitchen right off to the right-hand side there. And I don't know if you've noticed these colored lines right here, if anyone knows what that's all about, but we have the same thing. It's an Awana square, and I don't think they've used it in a long time. They haven't had a ton of little kids, but a lot of their kids have grown up, but they are starting to get more younger kids. I know they do have a program for them. I don't believe it's Awana's anymore, but they have their own program. This place is a huge draw for the youth, honestly. because they really don't have a lot of places to go hang out that's safe for the youth. It's not a dangerous place, but there's a lot of, you know, drugs and alcohol in this country that they can get tied up in. So having something like this to draw the kids away from that is a real blessing. They love to play basketball, and, you know, they love to just play around and hang out. This wall right here, everything has since been painted white, and it's really brightened the place up. I haven't seen it firsthand, but I've seen pictures of it. So, the pastor of Tay Street Baptist, I'm sure some of you have met him, Art Brammer. This is his wife, Deb. They've been serving Tay Street Baptist Church since 1998. It's been a long time. And even before that, they were in Taiwan for 16 years. So they have really been in the ministry for a long time. It's a blessing to know them, honestly. They have been a great help in getting us through this and getting to know them. It's just been a huge blessing. They're great, great people. On Friday nights, they have their youth group, and I got the pleasure of leading the youth group this night. They usually start out with a game, then they have a snack and a message, and followed by more games. So, pretty much just almost like here, teens are pretty much the same all across the world, so they're pretty easy to get along with and get to know. They love to play basketball there. I was not expecting that. But they love basketball. I thought maybe rugby, but honestly, I tried to talk rugby with them, and they're like, yeah, we don't really play rugby that much. I'm like, you have the All Blacks. How could you not play rugby? But it's all right. I got over it pretty quick. But that's just how they are. But the thing that threw me, as I'm talking to these teens that night, I was talking about a simple task of changing oil in a car. Not one of them had ever even really popped the hood of a car. I'm like, what is going on? They don't teach their kids to work on cars there and just take them to the auto body shop and that's it. So it was really interesting to see the difference in that way. I'm sure there's some of you teens who have never done that, but if you want to, I'll help with that. I'm always popping the hood of cars because mine break all the time. So after Sunday service, every Sunday they have like a little light tea in the fellowship, which is just a snack, and it's just to sit and talk. And here I'm talking to the gentleman. His name's Malcolm. He is a local farmer and a longtime member. Holly is talking with Lady Joyce, and she is actually the longest standing member of Tay Street Baptist Church, and she also recently got married in the last couple of years. So we're excited about that. She was a great lady. So getting to know the people so here's the funny thing about getting to know them. So I go in and they see me as I'm a preacher. And that didn't sit well with a lot of them for some reason because I'm just coming in as a preacher. Then they found out I was in the electrical trade and I actually worked for a living. And that opened a lot of doors. It was like, oh, wow, you work? You don't preach all the time? It's like, no, I actually have a job and, you know, and have been working my whole life. They're like, oh, wow, that's amazing. So what really did open a lot of doors is they don't really, you know, like just being educated and going in and being a leader immediately. I'll talk about that in a little bit. It's kind of an interesting philosophy they have there. So, recently they had an international conference. It's a potluck style. This was right before COVID hit. And they actually had their record turnout of over 80 people. And here you can actually see the recently painted walls. It did really brighten it up in there. It was kind of nice. So they do this every year, and it does bring more people in. And usually there's a couple that end up staying, and it helps them to grow, and it's really a nice time for them. And thing about their church is they like to take care of their church. They like to volunteer and help maintain it and paint it, and they really take pride in their property. They really feel that it is their church. It's not the Brammer's church. It's not Tay Street. It's their church, and they really have a lot of pride about it. So they maintain a lot of it themselves. They do the lawn maintenance and whatever else needs done. It's kind of like having a really, I'm sure a lot of you have been to a lot of small churches, and I've seen that around here too, where the members really just jump in and do all the work themselves. They don't ask for help. It was kind of a neat attitude, not neat seeing that there. So anyways, about the people of New Zealand. A lot of people think New Zealand is a lot like America, and it really isn't. There is some similarities, but really the only real big similarity is it's a very diverse country. There's all sorts of nationalities there coming from everywhere. Years ago, it was primarily European, but over the years, the European population has dropped considerably, and actually the fastest growing nationality is the Asian population. Has come in quite a bit. Now the nationals are called Kiwis, and the indigenous people are Maori. I'm sure some of you heard the Maori term. And that culture is still pretty strong there today. They believe in different gods, and they believe in the war god and other things like that. It's the religion of Maori is not super common, but their ideas are, and it really does get in the way of a lot of things. A majority are still of European descent, and like I said, the fastest is Asian. Like I was talking about people coming in leadership roles and just taking charge, how they don't like it. It really holds people back there. Big problem is people don't want to step up into a leadership position. So they have a hard time finding a pastor because that's someone stepping into a leadership position because they don't want to. Because when a person steps up into that position, they call it the tall poppy syndrome. I was actually first told about it here at Temple, and then I heard about it there, and then I started hearing about it everywhere. That tall poppy syndrome is, it's very common for people to give people a hard time who step into those leadership roles. They don't like them to succeed. I actually heard one story of a person who was at school and they got an A on a test. Well, they told their friend that they got an A on the test, and then they just caught a lot of flack over it because they were bragging about how they did on their test. There was no bragging. It was just, hey, I did well in this test. Well, you can't be proud of that. You can't say, I did well, because they just knock you down. It's like, you can't be better than us. You have to be the same as us. Everyone has to be the same. If you stick out, you'll get chopped down. So it's a very difficult thing to get over. It's a very difficult thing to try and actually get people to take even a Sunday school position, to teach a Sunday school. So that's going to be a challenge, but hopefully we can use God's word to teach people that that's not necessarily the case. Now the government of New Zealand is interesting. New Zealand has a similar government like we do. It's a representative democracy. People are still voted in. They have three different parties that are kind of strong. There are the Labour Party, which is currently in control, the New Zealand First Party, which is more a little more conservative. We almost consider them more the Republican, but even from our standard, they're very liberal. And then the Green Party is really starting to come up, and just by the name, you can tell what that is. They're very environmentally conscious, and that's a lot of the young people, a lot of the people in their 20s and younger who are really stepping into that Green Party because they want, and even in New Zealand, it always has been take care of the environment, very environmental conscious, but even more so, these people are really taken to that next level. But they do have an executive branch, which does the day-to-day activities. That's where the prime minister is. The prime minister is Jacinda Ardern. She's only like 40 years old, and this is her second term. She's a difficult lady to deal with from what I've heard. Sadly enough, she actually helped write a bill to legalize abortion through term for no reason. You just choose to, you can. That was a very sad law that was passed recently. It kind of struck me a little bit, but that's some of the things you have to overcome while you're there. They do have a legislature, which makes the laws. The thing about the legislature, like we have a House and a Senate, and if they're two different parties, they kind of can cancel each other out, or, you know, checks and balances. They only have one party, so they are able to pass laws very quickly and very easily, and that's how they can get these laws passed. And then they have their court system. And the thing about the government, they run the entire country. They don't have states like America does. So it's just one government to run the entire thing. So that's kind of a quick synopsis of what the country is like. Cheap. They have them there. And, you know, the thing, I was kind of just laughing about the sheep and how they were everywhere. But it just kind of just kept me thinking of Isaiah 53:6. And I was like, well, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have not turned everyone to his own. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. You know, I try to look at these things and get a little reminder of everything. And that just, every time I saw him, it was just like, yeah, we have gone astray. Everyone's gone astray. We need God. We need him in our lives. We need him to be our shepherd. And, you know, so it was nice to see him because it kept reminding me of that. It kept me on track. This was an interesting spot. They're called the Meraki boulders. They are perfectly round boulders that are just laying on the beach. And as the land recedes, you get more and more boulders. Sadly enough, there's a sign there that's talking about how millions and millions of years ago this has happened and everything. I don't know about you, but I know there's one catastrophic event that I've read in the Bible that I think these could have come from. But it's around Genesis, you know, 6-7 area. And actually, there is a Christian perspective of this. If you open these up, it is, how do you explain it? It's like a real, kind of not soft, but it's like a tar, like a hardened tar for some reason. It's really interesting, but it was kind of neat to see them. We actually stopped there along the way to Invercargill. This was probably one of the favorite things I got to see. It's an entire beach, probably the size of this sanctuary, if not bigger, and it was an entire petrified forest. It was really cool just to walk along, and you can just see just entire trees laying on the ground that are petrified. It was pretty neat, something I would never expect to see here. I mean, if they had that here, I think that'd be fenced off, and you could just see it from a distance. But you're able to walk out there and just walk on it and see it. It was really neat. All right, now this is going to be fun. So that's me. You can see this water right here. Now, I just want you all to know, Art, who is close to 70 years old, just jumped over that. My son just jumped over that. So I went to jump over it and ended up right there. I'm going to blame it on my shoes. I threw those shoes away, but it may not have been it. But it was real. This was a lot of fun, walking out on the waterfalls and seeing the beauty and the nature that they have there. Here's another waterfall that we went to. It's a beautiful country. It's just gorgeous there. I can't even explain how beautiful it is. This waterfall actually was really neat. So we ended up here, climbing through a tree. You have to actually climb through that tree to get up there, and that's Colton hanging out over the edge because he's a teenage boy, and that's what they do. But it was so amazing to be able to just go out there and climb up these and see it. And what thing really struck me is people take care of the land. So there's a reason that people in America aren't allowed to go on these places, because sometimes there's just people who tend to destroy things like that. Here, no one does that. They love the nature, they love the beauty just like we do, and they want to take care of it and preserve it. So it was just really enjoyable to go out and see things like this. just the ocean, how beautiful it is. And supposedly, I don't know if some of you know, but some of Lord of the Rings was filmed in this section of the ocean. We did see places where it was filmed and everything, and just how gorgeous it is. But another reminder I had, as Christians, we just need to remember this. We went and saw a bunch of lighthouses and how gorgeous they were and everything. But every time we went, it's like, well, we are the light of the world. City that is set on a hill cannot be hid. I kept going back to these verses and going back to these verses. And the funny thing is before this trip, I never really did that in a lot of ways. Like, I'd think of verses and everything, but I never kept getting drawn back to a certain verse over and over and over and over again. And just kept going back to, I'm supposed to be the light. I'm supposed to be a reflection of Jesus Christ. I'm supposed to show his love, his grace, his mercy in every situation I'm in, no matter bad or good. So it's just these little reminders that God kept bringing back to me. He's like, see, this is what you're supposed to do. Now, one of the struggles I had in New Zealand was this. So I got used to it after a while. But the very first day as I'm pulling out, and you're in an airport, and I don't know if you know this, but airports are put in the middle of cities. So traffic immediately. So I hop in this car. I did actually walk to the wrong side of the car originally. But I finally got to the right side, and I pulled out, and I'm like really like cautious and careful and paying attention to what I'm doing. And then, of course, I go to the wrong side of the road. Being as careful as I can, I had to quickly go over. Okay. So it only happened then until the very last day. So we drove all the way back to Christchurch. We spent the night there, and we had to wake up. It was like 3 or 4 in the morning. And I get up pretty tired, and I literally am driving down the road, down a 4-lane road. There's no traffic or anything. Just cruising along with no big deal, no thought at all. And Colton's in the back seat. He goes, Dad, yeah? You're on the wrong side of the road. Oh! Whip over to the side I'm supposed to be on. But we made it. We survived. We didn't get in a wreck. We didn't get any tickets. It was ended up being okay. But another cool thing we were able to do is the world's most southern Starbucks. We got to go to the world's most southern. They haven't made it to Antarctica yet. I was pretty excited. But if they do, I probably won't visit it. It was a... The thing about this trip was it was a fantastic spiritual trip. Like spiritually, when talking to the people, you know, preaching, talking to the kids, everything was fantastic. But as we're there, of course, Satan doesn't like it. He finds a way to attack no matter what. And each and every one of us got sicker than you'd believe. My daughter was bedridden for one whole day, being so sick. Colton's allergies were, if you know anything about Colton, he has bad allergies. You times it by 10 there for some reason. He was just became allergic to everything. His face swelled up and it was bad. I actually got so sick on the way home, I was afraid to get on the plane. And I'm like, oh God, you've got to help me get home. I just really need you in this. He sat me right next to a lady who was just as sick as me. It was pretty amazing. I did not expect that. And we looked at each other, and she's kind of scared to look at me and everything. And we kind of, like, she's like, you're sick, huh? I'm like, yeah. Like, I am too. I'm like, okay, we'll make it. We'll make it together. So it was kind of a blessing. But, you know, even now, as we're going through, Satan's trying to attack and stop us. But that's okay, because I know someone who is a lot more powerful than Satan, and he can try and attack as much as he wants. It's not going to help him, because I'm going to continue to be faithful, and I'm going to continue to strive to serve him, and he's going to see his mission through. This is not my mission. I don't take any credit for anything that I have done. I don't take credit for anything that's going to happen. This is God's mission, and he is going to see this through, because that's what he wants. But I left enough time for questions, if anyone has any questions. Well, of course you do.
Are you working with a mission board?
I am. So I have been working with Baptist Mid-Missions. The reason I chose Baptist Mid-Missions is because that is who Art and Deb Brammer are going through. They've been going through and working with them for years. Art is actually one of the heads of the Pacific Island area, so I can work through him. I just recently started contact with them again and talking with them. They seem to be very helpful. We would need to take a trip to Cincinnati, where they're stationed, their headquarters is, and go through a little bit of training with them. I actually kind of look forward to it. I really want to see what they're all about and what it's all about. I do keep in contact with them. I actually just emailed them recently that I was going to be presenting. But the guy I emailed is out of town till Wednesday, so I won't hear back from him till then. He's not out of town. He's out of the country and does not have access to even the internet. So I kind of envy that in some ways. So I am working Baptist Mid-Missions. So. Zero. Zero. So that is the funny thing about New Zealand. It is, the last I saw was the seventh safest place to raise a family in the world. No venomous critters. I mean, like I think pastors even mentioned it. You can go out in the middle of the night and not worry about getting attacked. It's a pretty safe place, not only animal-wise, but people-wise. It is very safe. So yeah, it's kind of a different world there in a lot of ways. So, anything else? Yeah?
What do you think your time frame for actually going to New Zealand is at this point?
That is a good question. Our plan is to put visas in as soon as we can. We want to apply for our visas as soon as we can because during COVID, they stopped looking at any visas. They actually put a hold on everything. So they got way behind. I think they last reached 70,000 visas on their record. So they're looking at being about a year out, just in that, which is fine because we're looking at about a year to 2 years to be going over there again. And that's a lot to do with COVID because really they're not letting anyone in right now. The only people they are allowing in right now are residents of New Zealand. So hopefully in the next few months, they'll start. There is projection of allowing people in. They are reviewing visas again, so it will happen again. They'll start letting people in the country. They can't close it forever. So we're just going to have to wait on that. But during that time, we still need to prepare. We still need to travel around here and prepare with everything here. So we need that time anyways. So, yeah.
So that sort of leads to, will you be going on visitation and traveling, or will the church be able to, partially support?
The Brammers are supported through churches in America right now. So we would have to go on deputation. We'd have to travel around. We'll have kind of a projected amount of what we'd need to live there. So we have that kind of laid out, not perfectly, but it's kind of a rough draft of what we'd need. So yeah, we would need to go on deputation and raise funding. And I've been working with other missionaries, learning how to do it, because I've never done it before. I'm an electrical planner. I am a planner at least. So I've been talking to a few missionaries. And actually, Clifford has been one I've been in contact with quite a bit, Clifford Keister. He's been very, very helpful, very knowledgeable. And I saw the success he had, where he was under a year, something like that. He goes fully funded. So I'm like, well, that's the guy to go to. So I contacted him, and he's been showing me some tricks and teaching me some ways to do it. So, yeah, that's what our plan is anyways, until God changes it. So anything else? The Tay Street Baptist? Are you talking Tay Street Baptist?
Yes.
I want to say when we were there, was it like 20%? I think it was about 20%. I think it has increased a little bit because they have got a few more members that come in and support. Now, they did lose a couple that moved up to the North Island, but they are slowly growing in membership. So, but yeah, it's around 20%. So the Brammers have needed support throughout their whole ministry. My plan, obviously, as most missionaries, is to see National take over the church. Art did say that there's a couple people he's been working with off and on, but nothing really promising. I know there's a young man who, I think he's like 19 or 20 right now, but he's shown a lot of promise in the desire to take that role. So that'd probably be a few years for him, but there is some projection of actually having a National take over the church and be completely funded through that, and then obviously I'd continue to move on wherever God led and continue the mission that way. So hopefully that's still the plan, but we'll see what God has in store. Yeah?
Are there other Baptist churches basically about the same flavor?
There is one more in Invercargill that's real similar. It's actually smaller than the church, than Tay Street. And I know Art works with him quite a bit. They work hand in hand and kind of encourage each other and bounce ideas off of each other. So I never got to meet him. I think he was in the North Island when we were there. He wasn't actually around, so wasn't able to meet him. But, yeah. Yes?
How big is the city?
I knew you'd ask that question. And I wasn't prepared for that. Do you remember what the number was? I wish I could remember. I honestly want to say it's pretty close to Tri-Cities, like a little bit smaller. So I'll basically take like maybe Pasco and Richland. It's about that size, I would say. Yeah.
What different religions do they have? Which one has more dominant?
Yeah, so I didn't bring that list, but the Catholic is very common there. Now, I say Catholic, you know, very loosely, as Catholic religion usually is. So they claim Catholic, but don't go there. Christian is actually, real Christian religion is actually kind of tapering down. And there's a lot of, Muslim is a growing one, Hindu is a growing one, and I'm trying to remember the name of the one where they wear the turbans and the curved mustaches. Huh?
See?
Yeah, so that's actually the fastest growing religion for some reason, which is really interesting to me, because I would say that I saw more mosques than anything there, so it just feels like a Muslim would be the fastest growing, but it's not. But it is kind of dominant there a little bit. So, yeah, but Christian is falling off the radar a little bit, sadly enough. And actually, the crazy thing is Christian used to be the top religion there years ago. Back when the country was founded, Christianity was the number one religion, a lot like America, and it's kind of gone that way as well. So, yeah. Anything else? You want to close this in prayer? All right. Oh, there's one more? I think that's why God moved us to Tri-Cities, because it's very, very similar to Tri-Cities, cost-wise, because we came from Idaho, which is a lot lower cost of living, but yeah, if you look at America as a whole, it costs more to live there, but Tri-Cities is very similar to it, so its cost is about the same. So, yeah. All right, I'm going to turn it over to Pastor.
Thank you, Matt. How many of you would like to go to visit New Zealand?